There was a young child who returned home after going to religion class. And the mother asked, what did he learn that day? The child says, today the teacher told us about how God sent Moses behind enemy lines to deliver his people from bondage in Egypt, and how, as a part of this deliverance, God instructed Moses to lead the people to the Red Sea. And when he got to the Red Sea, Moses instructed his engineers to go, and they constructed a pontoon bridge for all the people to go across. And after they all went across, he had also had the engineers to install explosives so that once the people would cross the bridge, they would explode, they blew up the bridge so that Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers and all of them could not come against, could not follow the people. And so the people of God ended up going across the desert safe and sound, and they made it into the promised land with no problems. The mother said to her son, whose name was Brad, she says, Brad, is that really what the teacher told you happened with regard to Moses and his people? Well, no, Mom. But if you would have heard what the teacher told us actually happened, you'd never believe it. Beloved, in the sacred writings of the Scripture, in both the Old and the New Testament, there are so many miracles recorded. In truth, it does require a great deal of faith to believe everything that has been recorded in the Scriptures. We hear of how God provided for his people, miraculously instructing Moses to strike the rock, and from the rock issued forth water. So was their thirst quenched as they were murmuring and complaining. And not only did it have to happen that way, they also complained about not having any bread to eat. So the mysterious substance of manna from the heavens came. Each morning they would collect it. Well, they got tired of bread. Then they wanted meat. So God made it so that this multitudes of quail would come, and the people were able to take and kill the quail and have it. They had so much meat, it was coming out of their nostrils, out of the ears. They had it for like a month. It was just never enough. But yet we have to ask ourselves, what indeed is the purpose of the signs, the miracles of God? Why did God establish this type of manifestation? For what purpose? As we hear Jesus in the gospel, he's there with this woman. He has strategically placed himself at this well at the noon time of day. This woman is coming. And Jesus, he initiates the conversation by telling her to give him something to drink. The woman is taken aback at this. As we ought to know by now, Samaritans and Jews were enemies. And as regards a man talking to a woman, that just didn't happen in the time of Jesus, especially not in the light of day. But we're told that Jesus was tired. He was tired. Why was he tired? Because he had spent the night before talking to Nicodemus under the cover of night. Nicodemus came asking questions. And the reason why Jesus was tired is because Nicodemus wasn't prepared to accept what it was that Jesus wanted to give him. In fact, whenever Jesus is worn out as a result of the work that he came to do, which is what? The will of his Father, to realize the plan of salvation to the whole world. Whenever he would be confronted by people who were not open to receiving what he had, it would just simply bring him down. It would literally sap him of his energy. But this woman, she was ripe. She was ready. And Jesus knew it. And so he presented her with what he had to say in such a way that it would intrigue her. Give me some of this living water. Go and get your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. In fact, you've had five, and this one is not yours. What you've said is true. Well, that spooks the woman. My goodness, you're a prophet. And this gets her to do what? To disclose what really is the desire of her heart. Which is what? What constitutes true and authentic worship of God? Your people say in Jerusalem, our people say on this mountain. What is it? I solemnly assure you, woman, the time is coming and it has already arrived. It is here now where true worship of God will neither be in Jerusalem or on this mountain, but true worship of God is to be done in spirit and in truth because God is spirit. Everything that Jesus was bringing out of this woman, that he was enabling her to get out of her system, to bring up, is precisely the whole purpose of salvation history. Everything that God was revealing about himself in different ways was meant to bring the people to full maturation so that they might become fully disposed so that he might do what St. Paul speaks of. Because notice, whenever Jesus was responding to the woman and telling her about this water, the water that I shall give is what St. Paul speaks of. The love of God has been poured into our hearts. For hope does not disappoint. The miracle that Jesus realizes in this woman, and what he's desiring to continue to realize in our lives, comes about not as a result of expecting God, as did the people, the Hebrew children who were under the charge of Moses, and you can't blame them. How is it that they expected God to provide for their every need? Because they witnessed the signs and wonders he worked in Egypt. So why would it be any different now? They had grown accustomed to God meeting their every need. So there it went. But more than that, Jesus wanted this woman to understand, as he wants us to understand, what you think you're thirsting for, what you think you're hungering for, really isn't what it is. Your true desires are even hidden to yourself. But given the proper approach, in just the right setting, and of course, the right person engaging us, we are able to come to a full realization of what really matters. What truly do our hearts treasure? Do you remember when you were a child? I don't know if any of you ever experienced the treasure hunt. Going on a treasure hunt? In a treasure hunt, in order to find the treasure, they give you clues. Some of the clues are obvious. Some of them are very confusing. But when one discovers what they're searching for, that treasure, the joy. The way you and I live our lives on a daily basis reveal clues as to what we truly treasure, what we value in our lives. And one of the things that the Lenten season is meant to enable us to do through the disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is to be able to see clearly those clues and to discern rightly what truly is the treasure of our hearts. And when we come to discern rightly what it is that truly matters, what then are we able to do? The same thing this woman was able to do. She left the bucket at the well and she ran to the town to tell the people about everything that this man had said. And he basically told her everything she had ever done. And that for the people was a sign. They remembered the words of Moses. Moses said God would raise up one from amongst them like him who would do what? Tell them everything they need to know. And he says, when that one arises, listen to him. Now that was earth-shattering for Moses to be the one to tell them such a thing. And this is why the woman asked the question, could he be the Christ? They come, hear for themselves, and they tell her, no longer are we dependent upon your words. We have heard for ourselves. We've come to know and believe this man is the Savior. There it is. But what enabled that whole dynamic to unfold? She was willing to let go of the old and go and tell them about this new reality that had been made known to her in and through her encounter with Jesus. What is the treasure of your heart? What's the treasure of mine? Or as the gospel uses the terminology, what are you thirsting for, really? The way we're going to come to this is by responding to the word of Jesus with openness. For if we do so, guess what? We're going to slake his thirst, because he said that from the cross. I thirst. He thirsts for faith. And when you and I choose to satisfy that thirst by disclosing what we truly desire, this woman's heart's desire was what? I want to worship God in truth. Where is it and how is it to be done? And he answers that question. So much so that she went and she evangelized the whole community. They came and found out, and that's how it goes. The whole purpose of the Lenten journey is to enable us to discern rightly the clues that arise in our day-to-day living that disclose what we truly value and treasure in our lives. To what end? So that ultimately we may abstain from what's frivolous and lay hold to that which is most important. And what's that? St. Paul tells us. The love of God has been poured into your hearts. That's the most important. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. In so doing, you will have realized the entire commandment and the prophets, all the law, everything is contained in that reality of God's revelation and commandment. God love you.